Well, it's great to be here with you to pray. Let's pray for whatever you need, all right? I'd like to pray for Joseph Cora and his family and for all their needs. And we should remember all those we promised to pray for. I know so often people say, will you pray for me? I had a phone call today from a woman who I really owe this career to. You talk about God's providence. You know, I had a very different vision for my own future and for a career. I thought it'd be, you know, television news broadcasting, and you know, I had got involved in production. And this woman, through God's grace, helped to support not only certain documentaries that I was able to initiate, but was real instrumental in allowing me to be able to become the radio broadcaster that I am. It's a whole story. I won't get into all the details of it, but God will send people into your life at difficult moments. You know, you may not recognize them as being angels at the time, but God can use those souls in ways you can't even imagine. I look back on another friend of mine who is the reason I probably am on the radio today. You know, otherwise I may never have pursued the path of broadcast radio because it didn't interest me. It wasn't something I thought I'd want to do, but boy, God made me for it, and I love it, and I'm so grateful for the Lord allowing me this great privilege. But I want to pray for her. Her name's Yaya, right? And a very wonderful woman. And she called me today and she says, Drew, please, would you pray for me? I'm facing a legal challenge. Somebody who's suing me for something. I won't go into all the details of it, but the bottom line is, you know, she says, I need prayer. I really, really need you to pray. She must have said to me about six times before the end of the conversation, Drew, I mean it. I need you to pray. I need you. You know, and it resonated with me because how often does somebody say, hey, Mary, would you pray for me? John, would you pray for me? Oh, sure. Or people use it as a farewell. Like when they hang up the phone, God bless, you know, it's like, it's not so much a prayer as it is just a, you know, just a statement. And prayer is the same. I'll pray for you. Well, I think we're accountable for that. I think if you promise to pray for someone, you have to honor that. I think God's going to hold you accountable for that too. And if somebody's asked you to pray for them, let's do that on this chapel. We'll pray for all those souls who've personally reached out to us and said, would you pray for me? This woman in particular, I told her I'm going to continue to pray for her till she gets the answer to her prayer. And I believe it'll be remedied. I've seen miracles take place through the chaplet every day. And I know you have as well. And I'm so grateful to hear your testimonies. Please send them to me, drew@relevantradio.com. I'll just share a couple quick emails that came in here because they inspire me. Hey, Drew, I try to pray with you the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day. And I wanted to let you know that my friend Sandy had cancer under her left eye. She battled this about 5 years ago. She had surgery, was okay until last month. Her dermatologist said that the bump under the same eye now looks suspicious. Well, that was 11 days ago. We prayed the chaplet. They went in for this biopsy. When the report came back, they said, totally clear, no cancer. Just as you and I know, the chaplet is a powerful prayer. Thank you for the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Elise. Elise, thanks for sending that. Another person wrote, I just want to share that my daughter, who's been away from the church now for years, she's 24, has finally returned. Oh, Drew, so many chaplets of Divine Mercy. So many hours of adoration praying for her return. She sent a picture. There she was. She sent a picture of me with an Advent wreath and a devotional book using it this season. I've got to tell you, this is a miraculous turnaround. She was a wild child living on the other side of the country. She was actually in Seattle, and she wanted nothing at all to do with the church. She wanted nothing to do with God. She wanted nothing to do with prayer. In the last 5 years, I did nothing but pray and pray the chaplet. Maybe it had something to do with the choice of her confirmation name. She was named Mary after Mary Magdalene all those years ago, but she has come back. Please share with all who pray with you to never give up, because God will respond. Maybe not on our timeline, but he always answers. Love your show and your commitment to our faith, Jane. Jane, congratulations. There's nothing more powerful than a prayer of a mother, than a prayer of a parent. And it was your prayers that really brought about the conversion of your daughter. My own producer here, Maggie, I know her mom prayed for her for years, right?
That's true. That's true, and my confirmation name was also Mary Magdalene.
My name is really?
Margaret. That's Mary, and I just tacked Magdalene on.
That is such a great name. Well, I love
She's a powerhouse.
She is. I shared that story with The Exorcist the one time with Magdalene.
Yes,
remember
yeah.
that? I'll have to share that with
yeah.
those who don't.
It's a good one.
Didn't hear that. Powerful saint,
yes.
for sure. So lots of answer prayers coming. I'll share more. We'll take your calls. Let's pray for one another, okay? Let's pray and let's have faith and let's really believe that God does hear our prayers and will answer. Maggie, what do you want to pray for today? Anything coming up?
I have two intentions today, Drew. I want to pray for the soul of a young man. His name's Colin. He was a friend of one of my brothers. He passed away suddenly this past weekend. So I want to pray for his soul and for his friends and family left behind that are feeling this loss. And then also, I'm spiritually adopting someone this week for my Fiat 90 practices. And I really need help because this guy is great, but he's a little bit of a problem child.
I hope his initials are DM.
No. No, I'm praying for his conversion to Christ and also healing from his addictions.
Amen to that. All right, well, that's a great prayer. And I know your prayers are powerful. God hears prayers. I'm just so convinced of it. We underestimate the power of our prayer. I want to lift that up. And if I could, before we kick this off, just want to just share one intention that has come in here as well, if I can get to it. Oh, gosh, some really critical intentions. I won't get to them now because I can't open them. If you've written to me or you've sent your intentions to Maggie, we see them all. And over this weekend, I sat down and I was jotting down some heavy, heavy prayer intentions. I don't always write back to you just because of how many emails I get. Sometimes I do. Or it depends on my schedule, how busy I am. But know that I pray for you. I read every one of these intentions that come in. And just as I said, when I promise you prayers, you get them. All right? So let's begin as we do every day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable, divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
All right, let's go to Passaic, New Jersey. First, Mary's praying with us there. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew. I was calling for miraculous physical healing of my mom's cancer. She was just recently diagnosed 2 weeks ago with cervical cancer, and she spent the last week in the hospital undergoing radiation, and she has more treatments to go. And I just would like to also pray for blessings for everyone who's praying for us and the intentions of their heart as well.
Amen to that. All right, well, let's lift her up. I'll pray for you too. And she's not alone. I mean, we'll make her our representative today for all those who are in the fight with cancer. And Lord, it's a wretched disease. It just eats, devours, and destroys. And I ask you to vanquish those cancerous cells. I ask you to shrink those tumors. I ask you to allow those temporal remedies, the medicine, the radiation, the chemo, whatever it might be that's being used right now, that it may take effect. And I ask for life, the gift of life, to be extended to many who now seek that, Lord. And I ask protection too for me and my family and those I love from cancer, and for all those who are now praying with me. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Marie is praying with us in California. Hi, Marie. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I called on November 30th, the Feast of St. Andrew's Novena, and told you that my mom fell down the stairs. Miracle report from the Divine Mercy Intercessors. Amen. Broke no bones, had a brain bleed. She's at home recovering, almost back to herself with 24-hour caregivers. So thank you so much.
Praise God. That's great.
And yeah, but here's the other thing. I have to have a difficult conversation in a bit with the agency that I hired that's taking care of her. They dropped the ball this weekend, and it's a problem. And so I have to call. So can you all please pray that it goes well and that this situation does not happen again? And if this caregiver service and the caregivers are not a good fit for my mom, that I know immediately.
Amen to that. Well, great prayer. That's a beautiful prayer, simple, straightforward, and we will pray for your mother for her continued recovery and healing. I want to pray for anyone who's had head trauma, brain bleeds, anyone who's been the victim of accident or tragedy. And we thank you for this miraculous recovery. And I pray for Marie and every one of those intentions that she voiced. Lord, give her a supernatural sense as to whether or not this service is right for her mother. And if it's not, then open the right door. Pray for the homebound, the elderly, those who right now are dependent on others for their care, and for those who minister that care, that they may recognize that they can be real apostles of mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Liam, who's praying with us in Cedar Park, Texas, and many of the other calls, Maggie, I know that you are monitoring our Twitter feed, and Twitter's actually a great way to get your prayer intention in. These phone lines fill up pretty quickly, but Maggie will be there. You can send us your tweet at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. Please follow me also at Drew Mariani. Maggie, what can we pray for?
We've got a lot of things coming in, Drew. Rosary and Vito from Austin, Texas are praying for Vito's mom, Maria Rose, who received her last rites and is growing close to the hour of her passing. They pray for peace, comfort, consolation, and that Our Lady might cover her with her mantle. The IHM prayer group from Austin prays for Ginny and Diane, that they've both suffered strokes and are in the hospital. They pray for a gentle and complete recovery for them both. Our other producer, Tom, had asked for prayers for a friend named Lynn, who had breast cancer previously, beat it, but apparently it's come back. Rosa's asking for prayers for her father, Julio, who's undergoing a 5-hour surgery to remove a cancerous tumor from his throat. Bonnie is praying for Aaron Saunders, who's 48, from California, has had an infection in her hip and an aneurysm that's ballooning her aortic valve. Mm. She's had 3 kidney transplants, sepsis, strokes, and a heart valve replacement. She's asking that God will have a graceful will on her. And Jeannie is praying for her son, who's having problems with gambling. Also, Elizabeth is having an MRI today of her brain at 3 o'clock. Prayers for normal results. Thanks to all the prayer warriors. Thanks be to God.
A lot of heavy intentions.
I know.
That's for sure. And I know they continue to come in. And we really are here for you. We hope to be able to pray for you and for whatever your needs are. You know, I was just coming into the studio and I was opened by the show email. I know people sometimes send intentions there too. And it said, I've got a prayer request for Divine Mercy Chapel today. I just heard that one of my childhood friends, this person, right, died of an overdose last night. He was only 24. His name was Larry. I'll keep his last name private. But we'll pray for him and all the souls of those who've taken their lives and who've suffered accident, tragedy, overdoses, whatever it may be. We'll go to Liam. He is praying with us in Cedar Park, Texas. Liam, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm calling for my mom. I think that the Lord made her get to her nursing school, and it's her last semester till she becomes a nurse, and I just really thank the Lord for so that she got this far.
Oh, that's so awesome. Do you pray for her every night?
Yes, I love her very much.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what, Liam, your prayers go right to the throne of God. He hears your prayers in a special way. And just put your trust in God and just keep praying for your mom. Your mom's going to do wonderful. I know she must be so proud of you to have such a deep love for God and such a wonderful prayer life. Remember me in your prayers too, okay? We'll pray for your mom right now, our whole spiritual family here. And I give you Liam. I'm being told he's 9 years old. And that is what I love to hear, don't you? The faith of a child, of a young man like that. But I ask that this young man always be immersed in your grace, that you protect him from the deceptions of the world and keep him close to your merciful heart. But we pray for his mother right now. I'm going to pray for all those who are finishing their classes, trying to get certified. I pray in particular for his mom, that she do well in this nursing school. And I give you all the intentions that Maggie brought forward. I give you Liam and his sincere, heartfelt love for his mother. Lord, really work a miracle in this case. And for all those right now who are crying out to you, hear our prayers as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Ophelia is praying with us in Pomona, California. Hi, Ophelia.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. Tired today, to be honest with you, but I'm okay.
I'm requesting prayers for all those victims for the mass shooting that it happened this weekend in Monterey Park.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And for the repulse of the souls, because we just they just had a briefing and there's now 11 that died.
Yeah.
And also for their families and the shooter and his family.
What a beautiful
and
prayer.
And for all the first responders that they were there and you know all that. Trauma that they went through, seeing all that horrible stuff that happened.
Well, Ophelia, thank you for calling with that prayer. Yeah, you see these news reports, and they're so tragic, and the loss of innocent life, and even this man taking his own life, just tragic. Lord, I pray for the victims of this shooting, of all mass shootings, of all victims of violence. I pray for Ophelia. And for all of her personal intentions, she didn't ask for a single thing. But I bring her up to you. And Ophelia, before I let you go too, I think I remember you called back probably a couple weeks ago, didn't you, for a family friend who burned his back at work and had an upcoming surgery? How did that work out?
It's my daughter's co-worker's husband. He's out of the hospital, but he's still at home recovering from that horrible burn. So far, that's all she knows, that he's at home and he's recovering.
Well, we'll keep praying for him then. That's a tough tragedy, right? Burn victims. Lord, I lift them up to you today. Lord, we give you our hearts. We pray with persistence. We pray with trust. We pray with love. We give you all of these intentions voiced and all those that we have as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I'll take a couple extra calls this segment. We'll go to Frances first. She is praying in San Francisco, California. Hi, Frances.
Hi, Drew. I'm praying in gratitude for a marvelous Walk for Life West Coast. Yeah. It was our best yet.
Congratulations.
And thank you. We worked very hard on it. And also for the repose of the soul of Catholic journalist George Neumeier. And lastly, your call screener had reminded that I had called a couple months ago about the little girl in Hungary involved in the child protective scandal. And she's not, it's not going well. So we really need to step up the prayers for little Luca Weiss.
Okay.
And people can still go to change.org to sign Help Luca Weiss.
We'll try to save
this child. All right. Before I do,
I mean, yeah. Give me a thumbnail on her story for those who don't know what her situation is.
She's 9 years old. She revealed at age 5 and a half her dad had been repeatedly molesting her. And this is the same Child Protective Services agency that had the national scandal years ago with, you know, keeping kids with pedophiles. So they have internal problems. And we really have to get the public attention on it. And the couple hundred signatures you helped me get last time bumped it up into their national view. And it did get some shame going there. And it did help. But we really need to keep getting the signatures amassed, because the more light we shed, the more accountability.
No kidding. So what's the website again so people can go sign?
Change.org. Then you could look up Help Luca, L-U-C-A, last name W-E-I-S-S.
You got it. Hey, Frances, thank you. We're going to take that intention right now, brought it to our spiritual family. Lord, we thank you for the success of that march, too. And we give you the repose of all those who've been called home lately. I know that Dr. Kengor, who was on our show regularly, mentioned the passing of George on Friday. I think he died of malaria, if I remember correctly. Our next call here, too, is Vicky. She's in Austin, Texas. We'll add her to the list. Hi, Vicky. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I want to pray for the repose of the soul of a 19-year-old young man that passed away this past week in a horrific car accident. For his family, his parents, his brothers, for the community.
Oh. That's so tragic. 19 years of age. All right, Vicky. Yes. We will pray for him. And we'll do it right now. And we'll pray for you, too. We'll lift up all of your intentions. And Lord, again, I gave you, we don't know the day or the hour you're going to call us home. Please be merciful to us and to those that we love. I know you're outside of time. And I ask that the power of this prayer and the promises given to it reach that young man and all those who most are in need of your mercy. Fort Myers, Florida. Cheryl, good afternoon. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. May I please ask you to pray for my husband, Rick, who has terminal bladder cancer?
You got it. We'll pray for him right now. Lord, again, we give you cancer and all those who carry this very, very heavy cross. And I want to pray for everyone that's on hold, those who could not get through. Please call back. I'll do my best to get you on tomorrow, but I give you my heart. I unite it to everyone who is now crying out for your great mercy. I just ask, Lord, that you hear the prayers of your children, your faithful, and I ask that you allow special graces to flow today, that souls may come to know you, they may see the fruit of their prayers. I want to pray for the mother contemplating abortion and the soul that's contemplating suicide. I want to pray for those suffering with addictions and for their families, and those who are in same-sex relationships or cohabitating or living a life of immorality, those addicted to porn, want to pray for all those troubled marriages and for those who are now cheating on their spouses. I want to pray for the abused, that they may be healed. Pray for their abusers, Lord. We pray for justice and mercy. We pray for those who do not believe in you, Lord, those close to death, and those who've gone before us. And we humbly pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
And Mother Cabrini,
pray for us.
I'll have to tell you about why I'm invoking her. I just saw a great, well, let's just finish. All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can tell I talk for a living, right? I can't stop my mouth from moving, right? It's like a shiny ball syndrome, and I just saw this. Let me tell you about that. It's crazy. There's a great movie coming out. They spent $50 million on it. I think it's going to be an epic. I didn't get to see the whole film, but I actually got to speak to the creator behind it. It's a nonprofit that did this thing. And the story of Mother Cabrini is an awesome one, man. It's a period piece, and it deals with early America, and it deals with faith and God's providence and so much more. Films like this need to be made. They need to be seen. And I think it's still a long way off. I had a sneak peek, but I'll tell you more about it in the future. But Cabrini's a powerhouse saint, especially if you're looking for providence. You know, if you need blessing financially in your life. And she was asked to do these incredible tasks, right? She always said that, you know, God will come through. He'll provide. If the mission that pro-life cause you're working on right now, or that adoption agency you're working with, or whatever it is that you're trying to do that brings good and brings God to the world, if it's from God and it looks impossible, the money may not be there, God will provide. You just have to have that faith and continue to walk that walk. I've seen it so many times. I got stories to tell. I'm going to write a book about it one day. It'll be an inspiring one too. But let me take a short break. When we come back, we'll change gears. We'll talk a little bit more though. We got a lot to get into. I was driving home from the studio on Friday. Friday was the March for Life down in DC. And I actually heard another radio network. I actually play the Coach Tony Dungy audio from the march. It's only about a couple minutes. But man, it's a powerhouse. Statement that he made. I want to share it with you. So stay tuned for this. You'll like this. We'll talk about that. And boy, a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Vice President Kamala Harris quoting the Declaration of Independence during her pro-abortion remarks yesterday. But listen closely. She conveniently leaves out one important word.
America is a promise. It is a promise of freedom and liberty. A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence. That we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
What happened to life?
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I'm screaming on the other end of this mic, too. Really? I need a basket because I'm about to throw up. Are you kidding me? She left out the word life. Of course. Right? What did our founding fathers write? That we are all endowed with an inalienable right to life, to liberty, to the pursuit of happiness. Nothing else matters if you don't have a right to life. Right? If you don't have a right to life. So glad our founding fathers put that in there. But you know what? Did they ever in their wildest vision believe that this great republic of ours would ever legalize the killing of children in their mother's womb? No. They couldn't even conjure it in their wildest imaginings. I'm telling you that. And here you've got the vice president along with President Biden just leaving the word life out, right? The boo God. I mean, it's terrible. There was a massive crowd at the March for Life on Friday. And I don't know what the estimates are. I asked somebody to give me a number, and I want to thank the listener. Thank you for sending that. And he estimated 150,000. That's what they said. That doesn't seem like a very big group to me. Normally there's 400,000 or 500,000, right? But still, you had 150,000 Americans defending on the nation's capital. Roe's been overturned. And now the fight continues. But what do we have? We've got a Catholic president, Joe Biden, who insists on calling himself a devout Catholic. He even claims the Pope said he was a devout Catholic. Yeah, the Pope said I was a devout Catholic. You know, a good Catholic, I should say. He said the Pope said he was a good Catholic. What was he doing yesterday, right? What was he doing yesterday? He was pushing for abortion. He was pushing for it. Yesterday, the 50th anniversary of that deadly, that horrific, that egregious decision of Roe v. Wade, our Catholic president issued a presidential memorandum to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and he said this. He said, quote, in consultation with the Attorney General and the Secretary of Homeland Security to facilitate public access to abortion pills at retail pharmacies, but also through the mail, even though the law expressly prohibits sending those abortion pills through the mail. He asserted, despite all kinds of even liberal legal experts saying otherwise, that the Supreme Court got Roe right 50 years ago. It's funny how his position changed on that, right? He didn't always hold that view. Right? But now he's out there, he's reading his teleprompter, whatever script writers are giving him, saying, oh, yeah, Roe got it right 50 years ago. And he's calling, here's the Catholic president again. I'm sorry, it just irritates me beyond belief. You've got a Catholic president urging fellow Americans to march forward with a purpose as we work together to restore the right to choose. Let me just translate that for you into reality, right? I want everyone to march forward to the purpose as we work together to restore, not the right to choose, the right to kill a child in the mother womb, in the mother's womb, the right to murder. Vice President Kamala Harris, as you heard, was in Tallahassee, Florida, speaking at a rally there, and she quoted the Declaration of Independence, right? You heard it. She left out the word life. She talked about the rights of liberty and the pursuit of happiness, but conveniently left out the word life. So I want to play something for you. I was driving home from the studio on Friday. I was surfing the channel. I don't know what station ran it, but I heard Super Bowl winner and NFL Hall of Famer Tony Dungy. And I knew he was at the march. I heard his wife, her speech earlier that day. And he gave his right before, but I didn't hear it. So by God's providence, this came across my own airwaves. And, you know, the march, by the way, that day had a lot of luminaries. Jonathan Rumi, a lot of people really gave very impassioned speeches. I'll try to share a little bit of that with you. But Dungy, you know, he won the Super Bowl both as a player and as a coach, now a commentator for NBC. And we talked about how people, after he was speaking at this march, wanted him stripped of his job, right? Because he doesn't have a right to say what he believes, right? He doesn't have a right to express himself. He can't be tolerated. Take him, you know, strip him of his job. Let me share a little bit. His talk was only about 4 minutes long. This is only maybe 2 minutes at the very most. But I think it's well worth listening to. Listen, here's Tony Dungy.
Even though this march has taken place right at the biggest time of my profession, the NFL playoffs, this is way, way, way more important. It's amazing to me that God actually used football to shine some light on the subject of life for all of us. 3 weeks ago, during a game in Cincinnati, something happened that impacted our entire country. A young man named DeMar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills made a routine tackle and his heart stopped beating right on the field. It could have been tragic, but something miraculous happened. The team medical staff rushed out. They got DeMar's heart started again. But you know what? That wasn't the miracle. The real miracle was the reaction of everyone to that. The announcers on the broadcast, what did they say? All we can do is pray. And all across the country, people started praying. Laura and I, we were having dinner with friends of ours, and we stopped what we were doing and we prayed right there. The Bills players prayed right on the spot. Now, usually when that happens, the cameras cut away from that because we don't like to see that. Back when I was coaching in the 1990s, a few Christian players got together and they said, we want to pray after the games. And we actually got a memo from the NFL office that said, don't let your players do that. If you do, you'll be fined because that's not appropriate. Can you believe that? That's a true story. But last week, or 3 weeks ago, everybody on that field was praying.
And everybody on national television, you know, was talking about the power of prayer. I watched the hit. I saw that game. And I was watching the commentary. It was actually riveting. I must have watched 2 hours afterwards as this story began to unfold. And I thought, you know, tomorrow I'm going to talk about it with everyone on the air. And soon everybody began talking about prayer. It wasn't just me. And we saw the fruit of it, really, the miraculous recovery that this man has made. He was there the playoff game yesterday. The crowd went crazy. But, you know, Dungy's talk is well worth listening to. There's a lot more to it. He said a lot more, very inspiring type of stuff. But he spoke of the power of prayer. And that's what it's going to take. You know, prayer works, and we have to continue to pray that the culture of death in our country ends. We need to continue to invoke God for mercy on our country. I'm joined right now by Dr. Bill Thierfelder. He's the president of Belmont Abbey College. A great athlete. He's been with me many times over the years, and he wrote a book called Less Than a Minute to Go, The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sports, Business, and Everyday Life. And as I saw Coach Dungy, as I saw all that was unfolding at the march, as I saw my fellow Catholics like Joe Biden get up and champion a culture of death, I thought being nobody better than this clear thinker to join me. And Dr. Thierfelder, thank you for your time.
Hey, Drew, it's great to be with you again.
It's always good to talk to you. It's been too long. I watched, you know, the some of the talks from the march. I didn't see them all. Dungy gave a short speech. It was only 4 minutes. His wife followed him up. He took a lot of heat for being at the march. Why were people so upset with what he had to say? I mean, you heard most of what he had to say. Very benign and yet very hopeful.
Well, first of all, I was there, and you know, I kind of question that number, the 150,000 number. Yeah, well, I've been to all the marches except for the ones that we called off because of COVID, and so I have a pretty good idea. And typically, I think the numbers, first of all, are underestimated because, you know, usually the media doesn't want to really tell you how many people actually really showed up.
So, what do you think? How many?
I was there. I still think it was like 300,000 or more.
Great.
I mean, when we marched up Independence, I was kind of they had already made the turn, so the street is packed. Independence is packed all the way to the top of Independence where they turned to go towards the Supreme Court. And then all the way down, all the way behind me, all the way down to 3rd Street. And then you can see it even across. So I think if somebody was judging it by when the speakers were on, it looked more open there. I mean, there were still a lot of people there, but that looked maybe like if that was the number you're counting on, I could see how maybe they got that number. But if you saw how many people were actually right on the streets marching, it was, I don't know. I mean, I was inspiring. Wondering myself about the whole Roe v. Wade thing. Would it be less this year and so forth? Because, you know, we no longer have the Roe v. Wade case to overcome. But I don't know. I had a great sense of the same enthusiasm, love, and Tony Dungy did a great job. I mean, as did other speakers. And by the way, there was nobody there that was critical. Everybody there was cheering at the top of their lungs. I mean, it was just wonderful to see.
That's so awesome. Let me take a quick break here. When we come back, Megan in California, everyone else will take your calls. If you want to get in, my guest today is Professor Dr. Bill Thierfelder. He's the president of Belmont Abbey College, taking a look at Tony Dungy's speech and so much more. You can join us as well. Feel free to give us a quick ring. It's 888-914-9149. We'll also take a look at the president and vice president, Kamala Harris, what they're doing now to champion the culture of death. More straight ahead. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Live, coast to coast, a look at life you'll never get anywhere else. The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Always good to have you here with me. Really is. I mean that. If you want to join me, the number's 888-914-9149. And I'm joined by Dr. Bill Thierfelder. Today, he's the president of Belmont Abbey College and author of Less Than a Minute to Go. You can check him out. Check out his institution, too. Great, great institution. Want a good Catholic education, that's the place to go. Doctor, a couple things here, and I'll grab a few phone calls. We were talking about your impression of the march. Tony Dungy gave a great speech last week, and I thought about you when it came to sports. There was this Philadelphia Flyer, Ivan, I think his last name is Provorov. He's with the Flyers. He stood up against wearing, you know, the pride symbols of his jersey. He didn't want to do it, and they pressed him. He says, because of my faith. How hard is it for pro athletes, even college ones, for that matter, to stand against the culture? And how oppressive has this become?
It's incredibly oppressive. You're made to feel like you are, you know, alone, that you are somehow a crazy person. You talk about gaslighting. I mean, they try to convince you that you're the one that doesn't know what you're talking about. And what you hear, I mean, without getting too deep into a term, but all these things are filled with what's called logical fallacies. Those are flawed, deceptive, and false arguments that can be proven wrong with reasoning. But they throw these things out continuously. It's almost like a machine gun fire. They just keep throwing out these false or deceptive or flawed arguments. And you're left in a position of constantly having to try to defend yourself. And it's very sometimes hard to defend yourself when you're, by the way, everybody seems to be coming at you in these organizations. So it's just... It's incredibly difficult, but you know what? He has moral courage, and I've noticed this with a lot of athletes that, in a way, it doesn't bother them because they just have moral courage, and they're like, well, do whatever you want to me. Your false arguments and false reasoning is not going to convince me otherwise.
Amen to that. Megan in Larkspur, California. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you. I was just calling because when you were talking about the pro-life, you know, position just maybe 10, 15 minutes ago. And it's so true. I don't know if you've heard this expression, but it comes to mind for me because in Horton Hears a Who by Dr. Seuss, there's the famous line, a person's a person no matter how small. And have you heard of that one before in the pro-life movement?
Not in the movement. I'm very familiar with the Horton Hears a Who moment. Father Rocky often invokes that. I think it's a great example, though.
Actually, I've heard that very often. I've heard that in the pro-life. Very often, people do refer to that because there's a truth there to be had. You know, which is no matter how small, we're saying, you know, at the moment of conception, it's a unique human being with its own set of chromosomes. Yep. It's determined what that person is going to be. So this idea of, you know, first of all, we had a great student, by the way, I'm just sort of going off on a tangent, but we had a student from our school that was holding up a sign, and I think it only come from Belmont Abbey, had a sign up that said, fetus in Latin means offspring, you know, so I think so often this word fetus is a technical term that's thrown at us because we don't want to say baby, because we don't want to admit that that's a human being, but again, even in Latin, that means offspring, that means a child, that means another human being, you know, so it's, you know, all of these things, we just have to have courage, keep going. We overturned Roe v. Wade, and I pray to God that we'll someday get most people to recognize that abortion is an abomination and that we've got to do something about it.
Yeah, it's you know, we're making progress. I mean, to be honest,
we are.
We talk about this. I know people tune out when it comes to the issue of life for a long time. You're either pro-life or you're not in most cases, right? And it could be a tune out, but we're winning, and that's the thing people need to look at. I mean, the fall of Roe v. Wade to me was just, it was miraculous. You know, whoever thought we'd see that in our own lifetime, and yet we did. And now the battle. You know, the war continues, but the battles rage, you know, at the state level, and that's something we need to continue. You know, you're
also right, because when you go to the pro-life march, when you're actually there in D.C., I don't know what the numbers are, but I'd say almost half the people marching are probably under, you know, 20 years old. You know, so the future is there. You know, you have the young people that are there, you know, supporting this and recognizing the importance and the value of life.
So our attitude's changing. I mean, you're a university president. What are you seeing? And I know your institution might be a little bit different, though, because there's a certain breed of students who may choose Belmont Abbey College. But what are you seeing? Do you have hope?
I do, absolutely. And I think, you know, some things just from a pure technology standpoint are in our favor. If anybody's ever seen a 4D ultrasound, I don't know how you could look at a 4D ultrasound and say that's either a clump of flesh or something else. I mean, it is so clearly a human being, a human baby. There is no argument anymore. I mean, that was, I think, partly why Roe could even be overturned, is that there's no longer this argument that we don't know what's there. I mean, we know exactly what's there. It's a human being, and you can see it, you know, in complete detail.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Professor, if people want to check out your university, what's the best way to do that?
Just go to belmontabbeycollege.edu or bac.edu, and we'd love to have people visit.
And COVID, how did that affect you? We didn't have a chance. Did we talk? I think we've talked in a while, have we?
Well, we might have. I mean, unlike you, I feel like I have a COVID blank in my life, you know, that there was like this 2-year period of like, I'm not sure what happened during that time. But we plowed ahead. We just said we were going to do, we'd be prudent, but we opened, we had athletics, we did everything. And, you know, our students are fantastic. Our faculty is amazing. And we tried to proceed as normally as you possibly could. And you could see the results of it. I mean, we had a different life here in our community compared to what was going on, I think, around us.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I'm so grateful for what you do. I hope people will check out your university. And I always appreciate your balanced perspective on these issues that challenge us both in life and in the world of sports. My big frustration, and maybe some final thoughts on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Biden is a Catholic like you and I are, right? And yet you hear his position on all this. How do you reconcile that? I mean, Kamala Harris, I don't know what her faith is, but clearly to, you know, drop a key word out of, you know, what our founding fathers have written because it doesn't fit her ideology of what America should be all about. You got a Catholic president who, you know, really, I think, is obstinate in his objection of what the Catholic Church teaches regarding this issue. He's out professing the same thing. How does that jive with you? How do you sync with that?
I just think there's people with agendas that want our society and culture to be formed a certain way that is obviously antithetical to what the Catholic Church does teach in terms of the importance of the family. I mean, the family is the nucleus. It is the absolute core of any society or culture. So the destruction of marriage and family is really a plan to destroy, you know, our society as we know it. So the unfortunate thing we find ourselves in is that we want to have a rational, logical discussion or argument with someone. If someone is going to change the meaning of words, it's very difficult to have that discussion with someone. And then, and like I said, with these logical fallacies, if people are going to come in and really purposely use flawed or deceptive or false arguments, it's very difficult. So in the end, where we are today, I think, is when you remove God from the equation, that means you remove morality. And when you remove morality and God, you're left with just pure power. And whoever has the power is going to determine what happens. And so it is all the more important that we be well-educated and well-prepared citizens, you know, that we understand what is true, what is good, what is right, what is good for our society and culture, what is good for family, and that we pursue that. And we strengthen ourselves to understand those things and continue to vote in ways that hopefully support that and help us to grow and have strong families and strong marriages.
I couldn't agree with you more. I often quote our founding fathers, you know, and all that they have said, Adams and Franklin and so many others who talked about the need for virtue. If you want true freedom,
yep,
then you need virtue in this country, you know, and they said that if virtue and knowledge are diffused among the people, they'll never be enslaved. And that should be a security for you. But I think we've lost virtue, and we are becoming a slave to the dictatorship of relativism, these anti-life forces, these woke ideologies. And it is really, really troubling. I think they were visionary in what they saw.
I agree that so much of that is what we see. But I will tell you, traveling around the country, I see, you know, millions of people throughout, you know, my time, and there are so many good people. I was just at a church in San Antonio, and there was a couple who had been married for 60 years that came up at the end for a blessing. The entire church raised their hands when the blessing was going on to bless this couple. I mean, I just had a sense of the love that was there, the faith. And this is just a little place in San Antonio, Blessed Sacrament Church, you know. And so, you know, this is happening all over the country. So it's just that we don't get to see all the good people there are trying to have good lives and good families. And so we got to be careful that we don't get into despair, because the media is showing us a picture that tries to convince us again that we're alone and that everything is the way they see it. And like it's not true.
You know, doctor, I always say that evil often seems bigger, larger, and more powerful than it really is. And it's not.
Right?
It's a lot of smoke and mirrors is what it is. I mean, good always conquers evil. And I love our conversation as always. Doctor, thanks. I got to leave it right there. I hear my bumper running.
Okay, Drew.
I got a short break. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. All right, I'll be back on the other side. We got a lot to get into. Stay with me.